Marshall, you cannot talk to me right now.
Hi, Rabbi.
Hey, Suzanne, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Good. Good. You have this one, right?
Yeah. Can you see?
Yeah. So it's page one. It's the third paragraph is where we're going to pick up from.
Page one. Under author's introduction?
Yeah, under author's introduction. So almost everywhere?
Yeah.
Perfect. So that's where we'll pick up.
All right, sounds great.
Yeah, we have about 7 minutes. Oh, starting to record.
All right.
Recording now. Welcome everyone back for the second installment of Mesilat Yesharim. For those who are following along on Sefaria, we are in the third paragraph of the introduction. If you go to sefaria.org and you type in Mesilat Yesharim, you should be able to find it on your computer. If you're following along in a Mesilat Yesharim like this, which is one of the more common ones, you can find it on page one. I see David Schottenstein's got this guy. So for that one, we are on page... the bottom of 23.
Is that the first one you showed? No.
Which do you have a book?
Yeah.
So you have this one. You have the old school one.
I do.
I have way too many Mesilat Yesharims, but
I think I have the newer one, but I can't find it.
That's fine. So okay. For that one, it's broken up only in two paragraphs, and you're on the second paragraph. It doesn't have the page yet, but it's officially page 2 and 3 in that book.
Got it.
So I'll try and keep everybody, whichever one of the Mesilat Yesharims you have, because I've, like I said, I have way too many of them, but I'll try and keep you all in the loop. Okay, so last time we gave an introduction to the Sefer, and then we started the beginning of the Ramchal's introduction. And in that introduction, the Ramchal first began talking about how these are not things that people do not know. These are things that we all know. These are ideas that are not chidushim. They're not novel ideas. In fact, they are ideas that we should all be familiar with. However, even if they're ideas that we're all familiar with, there's two problems. And I didn't get into this exactly, but this is what I want to pick up with. So the very last lines of that we had left off on are ki yizkeru lo devarim ha'ela hanishkachim mibnei adam b'teva v'yasim el libo chovato asher hu mit'alem mimena. That, right, part of the challenge and part of the reason that you need to review this book many times is in order that you are able to overcome two issues. The first is nishkachim, and the second is mit'alem. So nishkachim is that there's a natural attrition, there's a natural forgetfulness in life that will, when life gets busy, when life gets crazy, unless you've created a certain amount of muscle memory in terms of your own behavior, in the same way that a tennis player has to work on his backhand until he gets it to a perfect stroke every single time. So the same is true about our midot. The same is true about how we approach a certain situation. Do we always approach a situation with calm, compassionate listening? Or not that way. My wife would argue, not that way for me, right? So the reality is that how do we create the momentum of trying to constantly be doing the right thing in every situation that we come to? The only way to do that is to actually, right, go over these things. So for the Ramchal, at least in the text itself. So that's the nishkachim. Mit aleim is a little bit more of our fault, right? So mit aleim is a language that connotes a little bit more of we delude ourselves. It's not that we forget. It's not that we're too busy for us to really be able to focus properly. It's more that there are times when we are our own worst enemy because there's something that we maybe really, really want or something that we really, right, desire. And so, yeah, the appropriate response may be X, Y, or Z, but that's hard. That's hard, and sometimes we can even fool ourselves into convincing ourselves really that we're doing the right thing. And that's another level of difficulty in terms of when we're right. The person really going to miss this thing? It's fine. They have enough. Like, what's the big deal if I take this or I take, like, and I'm not talking about like bona fide stealing. I'm saying, we can justify a lot when we want something. And so what the Ramchal is saying is that sometimes the proper behavior is something that we just forget and we need to instill and remind. And sometimes it's actually something that we will actively blind ourselves from. And this brings us to where we're up to, the third paragraph in most of the editions. V'tir'eh. Im tisbonein behove berov ha'olam, ki rov anshe ha'seichel ha'mahir v'apichim v'acharifim yasimu rov v'tbonunam b'sechutam v'dakut ha'chachamot v'omek v'iyunim. Ish ish kefi netia sechlo v'chashko b'hativi. Most people in the world, most intelligent people in the world, and I think this is only more true today than ever before, spend a lot of their time, a lot of their intellectual capacity on something that interests them and or their particular area of expertise, right? And the time of, right, in 2020, when it's the age of specialization, where you know really, really well this very small sliver of this very small sliver of this very large area of study. So we can spend years, right? If you're in medicine and at first you have to pick up area of medicine, and then even then you start delving into a particular element, especially if you're going the PhD route. So you really know this very specific piece of information, and you spend hours, days, years of your life studying this very specific intellectual piece of material.
And he
says, okay, and so some people are in science, some people are in business, some people are in other areas of learning, but right, even the people who go into Clay Kodesh, who go into actual, right, Torah learning as their main operative area of expertise, the Hainu Limud HaTorah Kedosha, Mehem Pilpulei Halachot, some of them are experts in Halacha. Mehem Midrashot, some of the Midrashim, some of them study, right, Bible and its sources. Mehem B'Psikei Dinim, sometimes, right, they're more judge, they're going into more of a judge type of format. So they're looking at different court case results. Ach ma'atim, ma'atim hayu, and this is what we just turn the page for most of the different editions. Next paragraph. Ach ma'atim yiyu min ha-min hazeh asher yikbe'u iyun v'limur al inyonei shleimut ha-avoda. There are very few people who devote special intellectual attention to the concept of shleimut ha-avoda, how to properly and completely serve God. And to some extent, right, we discussed a little bit how the self-help craze is actually at an all-time high, probably today than it's ever been. But even so often people will refer to these things as pop science, and it's a light read, it's easy reading. And the truth is that part of that is because when you get into some of these areas, it's very hard, excuse me, to prove anything without a shadow of a doubt. So that's why they have a certain perspective. For the Ramchal takes a very different perspective, as we noted, right? He basically says that everything that I'm going to share with you are things that you really know, right? Internally. There's a certain sense of what does it mean that something is right? What is the correct way to act in a given situation. Most of us, at least when we are outside of that situation and looking at somebody else in that situation, can often come to the correct conclusion as to what most of us would say is the correct behavior. The challenge for most of us is when we find ourselves in that situation with all of the craziness of the world, to still respond the way that when we have a bird's eye perspective and see somebody else making the mistakes we realize that they're making, how we try to avoid those mistakes. So that's how he tries to address this point. But when you think about it, right, he's saying this can't be something that you just kind of tepidly think about and don't really pay attention to at length. This has to be something that you're investing time into. And he's going to say this a couple of more ways and a couple more times in the ensuing paragraphs. He says, most people, when you ask them, they'll say, of course, these things are important. To be a patient human being, to not get angry, right? To try to have a holistic approach to how I serve God. Obviously, most people are going to say those things are important. Everyone will say, it's very important, very important. But most people are not spending the time to really get to the truth and the essence of this reality. And they think that these things are so obvious and so easy, it's not worth spending the time to really delve into it. It's a waste of my intellectual space. They don't see a need to spend extensive period of time working on their character. And so the result of this is that the sharp people are spending their time on various intellectual pursuits. So who's left to study areas of self-help and self-perfection? People who don't have that intellectual rigor. That's what the Ramchal is saying. Is that so often, right? And that's a double-edged sword, right? Meaning when that becomes the main group of people that do gravitate towards this type of learning, then what happens is that when you learn these things, you almost get branded, right, as part of that group. She'ela tir'eusam shok. Right, and so what happens? You see someone engaging in trying to perfect their own personality and being, and the cynics amongst us say, oh, yeah, another simple-minded fellow. What can you do? Right, he couldn't hack it at his MD PhD program. It just didn't work out. So, okay, he became a rebbe in a yeshiva to help the kids with some of their right. He became a mashgiach. Right, he helped them with some of their behavioral things. Right, and so that's the Ramchal is trying to fight against this. Right, because for the Ramchal, this is a terrible trajectory because he's going to show that actually both parties lose out. The party of people who are not necessarily the most intellectually inclined, that means that they're not going to be getting the best information when they do try to engage in this material. And the people who think that they're too cool for Musar, they're too smart for this type of learning, so their problem is that they're not actually spending the prerequisite amount of time to really make an impact on their personality and their global approach to religion. Next paragraph. V'ulam toldos ha-minhag hazeh ra'ot me'od l'chachamim l'vati chachamim. This will cause damage to both those who are bright and those who are not so bright. Ki gorim sheme'ela u'me'ela yechsar chasidu ha-miti. Both will lose out in being able to achieve the actual degree of piety that is required. V'ayakar me'od limso oso ba'olam. And it's a really important thing in this world that no one's going to be able to really achieve. The bright crowd are not working at it, and therefore they're going to have their troubles. Right? And the not so bright, they have no one to guide them. They have no one to help them to get to, right, this degree of perfection, because it's only them who don't fully really grasp things who are leading the charge in this area of learning. So, and the problem is, and this is true of the Chassidei Ashkenaz, some of the even earlier precursors to Reb Chal and the Musar movement, that there was certain ascetic practices that became the norm for how you define piety. People would say, they would say just Tehillim all day. And I don't want to say that saying Tehillim all day is not a good thing. It is a good thing. But for that to become the highest level of piety, there seems to be something missing there. That's not how you become a better person, by saying Tehillim all day. There's definitely power in saying Tehillim all day. There's power in davening all day. There's power in learning all day. But if you don't also spend the time to perfect your own personality, there's only so much that you can get out of just those things. And the Tehillim one, I think, is the one that most of us could at least relate to a degree. But most of us, Viduyim Aruchim, I'm not sure how many people really enjoy saying Long Tachanun. Maybe you're one of those few who do enjoy it. But right, saying Long Viduyim or Tzomos Kashim, or people who fast an awful lot, the Tevilos Kerach Vasheleg, or people who used to put their feet into ice and snow as a way of trying to focus themselves. Kulon Dvarim Asher Ein HaSeichel Nach Behem Vein Adas Shoketa. So these are not things that are going to really bring you to a proper path to understanding, right, how to better be a Jew. V'Hachasidut Amiti HaNirtzev HaNechmad, the proper piety, Rachuk Mitziyor Sichleinu. It's becomes, right, hard for us to even understand when we overlay all of our assumptions about it, is that this is a simpleton's area of study, and the way that you do it is through all these really strange practices. When this becomes the definition of chassidut, the definition of piety, then we've basically stolen the possibility for us to really be attracted to striving to be a good person. And that's the problem, right? That's, for the Ramchal, this is terrible. And this is what he's up against in trying to make this book a regular part of the Limud in his day. Kizeh davar pashut. Milsa delo ramya alei de'inish lavadate. And so if a person's not really thinking about something, it's not going to be on his mind. And this is what happens, right? If all of us decide that this isn't an important endeavor, and that this is an endeavor for simpletons, then we're not going to spend time on it. If we don't spend time on it, we're not really thinking about it. If we're not thinking about it, we're not actively trying to become better Jews, better people. And if we're not doing that, it's not happening. The afal pi shekvar kavuim b'leiv kol adam hayashar, his chalosav v'yisorosav im lo yasok behem yire pratav v'lo yakirem ya'avur aleihem v'lo yargishbam. He says, at this point, when you stop engaging in the practice of recognition, of just seeing the times when you have areas of growth, you're not even paying attention to that. So you're going to constantly be stepping on nails and other pieces of, right, problematic behavior, and you're not going to actually fix it. You're just constantly going to be doing the same things again and again, and you're not going to get any better, right? To some extent, if you start working on yourself, it's kind of like buying a Toyota Camry. When you buy a Toyota Camry, you see every other person has a Toyota Camry. Like, you're convinced, like, nobody has any other car, right? When we first bought our Kia, literally, I saw my car everywhere. When you start engaging with something, right, it becomes something that you see everywhere. But if you don't engage, if you don't have that car, if you didn't think about how am I going to work on my midot, not thinking about how I become a perfect or a better religious person, so then opportunities are going to pass you regularly, and you're not going to actually recognize or notice them. And so the Ramchal is saying, we need to be working on this. This has to become something that everybody's engaging in. This has to be something that even the best and brightest are spending their time and thinking about, how is it that we become better Jews, better people? And so if we can do this, then it can become a much more normalized reality. We'll do a little bit more. We just turned the page to the third page in this edition. We are okay. You'll just have to keep up with me because I have to find it in each one of these books. It's going to take too long. So if anyone gets lost at any point, you can just kind of chime in and I'll try and find you. But we are in the paragraph that starts Re'eh. Re'eh ki ein divrei hachazidut ve'in yanei ha'yir'ah v'ahava v'taras ha'lev dvarim mutab'im ba'adam. He says, when you really think about it, Yiras Hashem, fear of the eternal, or love of the eternal, love of God, and right, Taras Alev, the purity of the heart, are not that deeply rooted within a person that without work, they're just going to happen. That you don't need some medium to actually make them real. Right, so he says there's a difference between, right, hunger, being tired, right? These are things that are they just happen to us. There's you don't have to learn how to become hungry. You don't have to learn how to become tired. These are things that every human being has inside of them from the very beginning, right? The baby starts to cry as soon as he's hungry. Baby gets kvetchy when he's tired. When it comes to loving God and fearing God, those are not the same type of natural realities that they just exist and you don't have to work on them. They require work. You need to have a process. You need to have a format. You need to have an approach in order to actually be kona them, to actually have them become real for you, to acquire these type of traits. He says the word tachbulot also is like trickery, even, right? Sometimes you need to employ certain psychological tricks on yourself in order to actually get yourself to do certain things. If this is true, right, that these are not just natural realities that we're born with, that if you just let them be, they will grow and sprout by themselves, but rather these are things that are skills that need to be constantly worked on and developed, then how could it be that we don't think that this is something that requires time? And if a person's not looking for it, how on earth is it just going to happen? It's not. And right, the reality is that we're so busy and life is so stressful that if you don't take the time and put the time to, right, make this a constant form of study or a constant thing that you work on, it's going to be very challenging. Kevan Shikvar, this is the last paragraph we'll do for today. Kevan Shikvar, hit amet etzel kol chacham, tzorech tmimut haboda v'chovat tarata v'nikiyuta, shizuat eila eina netzrit vaday klal, elanim eses umito eves, ki chol levavos doresh Hashem, the whole Yetzer Machshavos who mevin mana ane biyom tochecha im hitrashalnu min ha'iyon hazeh v'hinachnu adavar shehu kol kach mutal aleinu shu ikar ma Hashem Elokeinu shu el mi imanu. He says, if on the one hand we say this is really, really important, and yes, there is this notion of, right, every single heart is Doresh Hashem. So he says every single heart somewhere there inside of us, the Pintel Yid, right, that internal spark is telling us that we should try to strive towards God. But if we don't engage with that and use that as the Pesach, as the opening to which we actually perfect ourselves, then what are we going to answer when God, after 120 years, asks us, what happened? What happened? Like, how did you get to this point in your life, right? And you still never really fully engaged in trying to become a better person. So just an aside. So I find this introduction to be really one of the most powerful parts of the book, which is a good thing because the Ramchal says you're supposed to review this book many, many times. And I can definitely tell you that most people, like most things, have started this book a lot. I don't know how far they always get, but they start the book in an awful lot. And for me, right, what the Ramchal does here in the beginning of this Sefer is he creates this incredible need. He basically is saying the following. He's saying, look, we all understand that this is important, right? So that's an assumption he's making, but it's, I think, a fair assumption. I don't know that everyone would agree, but that's assumption number one. We all agree this is something important. And yet, he shows that despite it being important, most of us are not actively, right, spending the time to really think about how to implement it. And even if there are certain areas that we're working on, right, is it a constant thing that we're working on? To me, this is something that he's right. It's so easy for this to become a back burner project that never happens, that time flies, life goes on, and then we look back and we kind of feel like we're spinning our wheels, right? How often do we get to, right, New Year's resolutions or Rosh Hashanah resolutions to be religious about it, right? And we look at what we were resolved to do last year. And sure enough, it's like the same. It's the same for, okay, maybe one thing we've made a little progress on, maybe we've regressed in certain areas. But it's almost like we know that we should be working on certain things, but then it just doesn't happen. And I get it, right? I'm a person who lives in 2020, and I know how many different responsibilities we have and how many distractions we have, right? I mean, the ease with which we can get so much, right, information on any topic, right? My son is obsessed with science. I can't find, right? I there's so many videos that we were having a conversation today at lunch about spring and summer versus winter and when it's cold where, and he started talking about how what would happen if there was a second sun on the other side of the earth that was really a dwarf. I don't even know what he was talking about, but he was saying it would emit a certain amount of heat, but it wouldn't emit any light. I'm like, Moshe, what are you talking about? And he's six, okay? And he has access to so much information, and we all have access to so much information that we could spend, and forget information, Netflix, right? You start Netflix and then you don't have to do anything else. It just starts itself for you. Just will go to the next thing and it will tell you the next thing you should watch. You should watch the next thing because you'll like it. You watch this thing, so you'll like that thing. It's unbelievable how many distractions we have in our life. And so it's not surprising when we get to the Rosh Hashanah the year after that we come and we feel like we're spinning our wheels, and we come and we have the exact same things that we're working on because we haven't made that much progress. And so for me, the introduction of the Ramchal here is so powerful because it strikes a chord with, I would say, 90-95% of people that, we probably could be doing better, right? And for me, that's one of the most important takeaways from this entire Sefer, which is you might not agree. you might not think that some of his ideas are good, right? Moving forward. But the concept that we need to be actively and thoughtfully approaching, right, who we are and our religious identities and how we approach God and how we approach being a human being is undeniable. And the fact that we don't spend enough time on it is also most likely true for most of us. And so that's where we'll stop with the Ramchal today. We're kind of in the middle of a paragraph. Maybe we'll go back to the beginning of that paragraph again. Thank you for tuning in. For those who are on the email list, you know that tonight at 8 p.m., we have Ari Kinsberg, who's going to be showing us lots of different documents and other interesting material from the Holocaust, which is going to address some of the ways, some of the forms of religious resistance to what the Nazis were doing through different documents. And it's going to be fun. Ari is really amazing. He's a great resource that we have access to through the Schottensteins. He's the curator of the Schottensteins Judaica. He's a pharmacist, but he does this on the side, and he's wonderful. So I'm very excited that we're going to be able to do this tonight at 8 p.m. So please tune in. You can find the link. I'm sure there'll be another email going out one more time today, reminding everybody, but the email went out yesterday with the link to the Zoom meeting that will be happening at 8 p.m. And now we can hang out for a little bit. I'm going to unmute everybody. Also, if anyone has thoughts or questions, feel free to share as well.
Rabbi Newman, I had a question regarding the second thing you talked about, that there were two words.
Yeah.
Was one of them was heat on your knee? What was it?
So in the second paragraph, in most editions, so it's basically the second to last line, second to last, whatever. So the word is nishkachim, like shocheach, versus mitalem. Right?
Mitalem.
So the language of shocheach is to forget. And the Ramchal, right, normally to forget, okay, so that happens in the natural just reality of life. Mitalem is a language that normally connotes more of an active, right, blinding yourself. So it's a little bit more of a, right, we actually want something, and so we're going to almost redefine the reality so that we get what we're hoping for.
Is that binyan hit palel?
Meet alem.
How do you feel?
Going back to
meet alem imena.
Yeah.
Is that reflexive?
Which book do you, oh, okay.
Meet alem is reflexive, isn't it?
That's.
It'd be hit palel, I would think.
Oh, right, because you're doing it yourself, right?
You're doing it yourself.
I believe so. I'll be honest, the Binyanim and I do not get along.
I'm not that bucky in it, but I remember from Torah, I believe that said Palad David Svi, would you concur?
Whenever I deal with Jew with Hebrew grammar, I go back to Shira. She's much better than I am. It's amazing. But that would make sense if it was.
That would build upon what you were saying. That's,
yes.
That's themselves.
If it's true, it's beautiful and a helpful point from Hebrew grammar.
In yeshivish yishprach, helam daver, something that's you put out of your mind. Rabbi, remember? Helam daver, something that's helam
daver.
It
sounds like he fell.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Loved hanging out with you guys, but I'm going to go hit the OU thing.
Sounds good. Have fun. Right,
Be well.
See you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Rabbi. Appreciate you.
Thanks,
Thank
Rabbi.
You, Rabbi. Thank you very much.
See you, Latour.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
How's everyone else doing? So, David, you got cut off.
Yeah, so now we're just talking about how how they found these seals is that when Yerushalayim was burned, all of his papers got burned, but the seals got fired up because normal clay would disintegrate. But the theory is
interesting.
And the other thing is, when they were doing the archaeological studies,
yeah,
found these little fertility gods in people.
Yeah. It's Baal and Asherah.
Right. And it just reminded me about when we were studying about how everybody was outwardly pious, but didn't you say behind the door they used to keep these?
Yeah. In Yoshiyahu's time, yeah. In Yoshiyahu's time.
Which
yeah.
is the same time as Gemariah ben Shafan, and they used to keep these little pestles. They used to keep these little idols inside the house. And the archaeology is interesting. There's a place in Sinai where they found clearly markings of Hashem written out, and also with Ashtera, with a consort.
Yeah. Right, which is very much the Eliyahu time.
Right. In the kingdom of Yisrael as opposed to Yehuda. So
Posei al Shnei Se'ifim. They couldn't figure it out. They were doing both. They davened to God, they davened to Baal and Asherah.
Right. They davened to both. And they have actually found archaeology, and the idea is that in the kingdom of Israel, they looked at Hashem as the head god, but he had all these assistants,
right?
As opposed to Yehuda, the way that we feel here, that he's the only god.
Right.
So it's just very, very interesting that the archaeology, I won't say bears it out, because Mike Weissel of his show told me once he saw a show where they found Noah's Ark, and he went to the Rebbe in school and said, "Rebbe, they found Noah's Ark, they think." And he said, "So if they wouldn't have found it, you mean it's not true?"
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's the archaeology is first of all, it's not a exact science.
Right.
Like, even the little figurines they found, right? Like, in theory, maybe they were toys. I mean, we don't believe they really had toys back then, but who knows? Like we don't know for sure. But we've come up with, right, something that they must have felt was valuable enough to keep. And somehow it managed to survive all this time. Maybe, in fact, it was some sort of little miniature idols. But it's interesting to try and think about how this archaeological stuff helps, doesn't help. But it's still interesting.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Rabbi, I'm lost. Luzzatto is just writing from other people's writings.
So the truth is that one of the interesting things, and I haven't talked about this yet actually in the class, but one of the really interesting things about the Ramchal is that this book was written without any sourcing. Like, he didn't, the truth is, he's not the first, right? The Rambam didn't write with any sourcing either, right? It was
the Ramchal who we're reading about.
Yeah, no, so, I mean, so this is the Ramchal's writing. The Ramchal is the one who's writing this. Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. So again, he's the 18th century Kabbalist, but he's a lot of other things also.
Who is
Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto? This is his. Okay. This is his book. This is the one book of his that really became very accepted and popular. He's got two other books, Daos Tvunos and Derech Hashem, that probably are a close second and third. But he has a lot of other writings that people don't even have any clue exist. But those three books, so Misilas Sharim deals with perfecting your self. Derech Hashem deals with the spiritual makeup of the world. It's a pretty complicated book. And Das Tunos is, I would say, it's part two to Misilas Sharim. There's some more in-depth conversation about kind of emotions and some other things than you have in Misilas Sharim, but they're connected.
So Luzzatto is actually helping us to think about what we have to do.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. His goal is to create a text that is basically going to go step by step, in a very, for him, it's a very structured format, about how you get to a point where you, in fact, right, are the best version of you that you can be. Now, he's giving you the guidelines, right, how long each step takes a person to actually achieve, right, depends on the person, right? When we get into some of the nitty-gritty, you'll see they're not easy. None of his steps are easy, and some of them are very taxing on a person's just approach to living life in a normal format. So that's part of the challenge is translating from his introduction, where he lays out this very beautiful and very elaborate idea, and for it to kind of actually become actual practice in our world. So
the Rav Chal is actually the one who brought this idea together, and he brings it to fruition.
Yes. Yes. Okay. This is his thinking, this is his writing, it's his perspective. He uses psukim here and there, but you have zero quotations of other thinkers that he may have been drawing from or where some of his influences were from. You get none of that in any of his writings, for that matter. It's not uncommon in those days and age. The difference is that someone like the Rambam, so when he did it, he got killed for it. Like his contemporaries got really upset with him for not quoting where he got his information from. Part of the reason is because he was dealing with halachic literature. He was dealing with Jewish law. And when it comes to Jewish law, debate is ubiquitous, right? Like you can't. And so if you're not going to tell me where you're getting your information from, then it makes it much harder for me to disagree with you, because I don't know exactly how you came to your conclusion. So I can't point out the deficiencies in your conclusion.
Well, I have to apologize that my Hebrew, while I can read it, I can't simultaneously translate all of it.
Right.
So I'm really sorry, but I can follow in, you know, some of the Hebrew and then, of course, all of the English.
Yeah, so I've been trying my best. I don't translate word for word, but I've been trying my best to really build out the overall message in English, right, when I translate. And so if you can't follow me in the Hebrew, I think that you're still going to more or less understand me. If at any point I skip over something that you feel like you're not following, you could just kind of unmute yourself and just ask the question then.
Well, I apologize that I can't do that I can't just follow completely.
You don't have to apologize for that. That's fine. We all have our deficiencies.
Oh, who's that beautiful woman and baby?
It's here.
Oh, he spit up.
Oh, lovely. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
All right. Thank you, Rabbi.
Of course.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day, both of you.
Thanks.
All right. We'll see you tonight.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye, Suzanne.